in the 30th of Isaiah were horrifying. The Assyrians had devastated the northern kingdom of Israel and were breathing out threatenings against the southern kingdom of Judah. They contacted Pharaoh in Egypt for help, and Pharaoh did lend them some help. God said to them, however, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. They thought that they'd be saved by the aid of Pharaoh. But God says, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Wouldn't that be a wonderful life's verse for somebody here this morning? How do you get saved? I don't mean from sin now. I mean, how do you live the life that's victorious? In returning and rest, in quietness and confidence. This is a world of turmoil. God's people do not have to have that turmoil in here. How? In returning and rest, we can be saved. In quietness and strength, our confidence can be our strength. They said to the Lord, we'll flee upon horses. They meant to Egypt. And the Lord said, your strength is to sit still. They said, we want to run. We're afraid of the Assyrian armies. We want to run. Look what they've done to Israel. Now they'll do the same thing to us. What can we do? The Lord said, now sit still. He said, your strength is to sit still. In spite of this, however, they began to flee to leave for Egypt. And then comes this verse, Isaiah 30:18, which says, as you read a while ago, and therefore will the Lord wait. Blessed are all they that wait on Him. Now the outline is very simple. Point one, God waits. Point two, we must wait. Now let's look for a few moments, please, at the first part. It says, the Lord shall wait. God waits. The Lord heard them. He knew they were in trouble. He did not, however, immediately come to their rescue. The Lord waited to come to their aid. He was going to answer, yet He thought it best for a while to wait to answer. Now, I'm sure that there's not a mom and a dad in this room this morning who hasn't used the same psychology with your children. The child asks for something. You intend to give it to him. You have it for him. You want him to have it. But you think maybe it's not yet time for him to have it. And so you wait for a while. And the Lord says, now to the Israelites, the inhabitants of Judah, I'm going to save you. But the Lord decided to wait. He draws the sword out of his scabbard, yet sends it back into the sheath, commanding the people to be quiet a little longer. He lifts the axe to fell the tree, and yet in his mercy, he lays it down for a while. Now, why does God wait? I'm sure that some folks say this morning, Brother House, I've been praying for something for these many years, and it has not yet come. It may come. God may be waiting for a while. Now, why does God wait sometimes to deliver His people? I don't know. It may be that he may want to test our sincerity. He may want to know how sincere we are in our prayers. Now, sometimes the Lord answers our prayers just like that. But sometimes He waits to answer our prayers. I was thinking, I was praying, oh, I don't know how long it's been now, I guess 10 years ago, Sandy Plopper was my secretary. And Sandy and I had to have $5,000. I mean, I had to have $5,000. And just absolutely seemed like I'd go under. Now, $5,000 doesn't seem like very much now. All I need now is about $2.5 million. But back in those days, $5,000 was a lot of money. And I had to have $5,000, and I had to have it by 4:30 on a certain Friday afternoon. I prayed for a month. Why, I prayed down more than $5,000 time and time again, but didn't get the $5,000. Week after week passed, I didn't get the $5,000. The week I had to have it came, I didn't get the $5,000. Monday passed, I prayed hour upon hour. I didn't get the 5,000. Tuesday came, and I prayed Tuesday night and begged God, I've got to have $5,000. And it didn't come. Wednesday came. I said, Lord, you've only got till day after tomorrow to get me the $5,000. Now, this is not like you. You've not waited like this before. What's wrong? And so I waited. No money came. Thursday I prayed, most of Thursday. And I recall Sandy Ploppers, my secretary, and she's getting impatient. Now, I recall we had a little brief prayer meeting, and she said, Lord, you're just not treating the preacher right. That's all. And I said, that's right, Lord. You hear what she says. You're not treating the preacher right. And she said, now you know he gives everything he has away, and you know he's not guessing for himself, and you know he's sincere, and you know how hard he works. Now, Lord, it's just not right. Well, in answer to her prayers, we still didn't get the $5,000. And so Friday morning came, and we had till 4:30 on Friday afternoon. And I prayed that morning, and the $5,000 didn't come. And I prayed that afternoon. I just knew the Lord never had let me down like that before. And about 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, I gave up. No way to get the money, $5,000. I complained to God, and no way to get the money. And so the secretary buzzed me and said, Pastor, some fellow wants to see you. I looked out in the hall, and there was an old man. He had on shoes that had a slit over the toe, and he had long white hair. That's back in the days before hippies were popular. He was a white-haired, looking hippie fella, way up in years, and he had an old suit on that I think had been cleaned by Japheth on the ark. And it was an old, worn-out thing, and the secretary said, he wants to see you. And I thought, good night. I don't need to see some poor beggar. I need $5,000 for myself. And I looked out, okay, come on in. And he came in, and I, in a very gracious way, said, sit down. And so he sat down, and I thought, shoot, I'm not going to get the $5,000. Everything's gone, and the Lord has failed me. I may as well talk to this poor old bum and see what he needs. I said, what can I do for you? This old man looked like he was a rescue mission fella just coming in instead of going out. And I said, what can I do for you? He said, my wife died. And he said, I live 60 miles. I live on the other side of Joliet. I said, I can't get peace about this thing. I just have a heavy heart all the time. And he said, I thought about committing suicide. And he said, somebody said, there's a preacher over in Hammond that could help you. Oh, brother, why don't somebody tell somebody's got $5,000 to come help me every once in a while? I hear these stories about these fellows that win someone to the Lord, and then they find out they got a can out in the backyard, buried in the backyard, got $3 million in it. Every time I went about the Lord, I got to bail him out of jail or feed him or something, you know. And so I thought, good night. Why don't the Lord send me? And so I said, okay. And I told him how to be saved. Then he got saved. And at 4:25, he walked out of the office. And I said, yeah. Couldn't even pray the last 25 minutes for the $5,000. And you got 5 minutes. Been praying for a month for $5,000, and you know I'm sincere. And Sandy Plopper was mad. She was she's mad at the Lord. I mean, it's one of the Lord didn't strike her dead. And she was really fussing about it. And so I said, okay, that does it. Everything's all gone. Needed the $5,000. Couldn't get it. So I was packing up, ready to go home and quit the ministry. And so the old man knocked on the door again. I was at the door. What is it now? He said, oh, by the way, he said, the wife left me some insurance money when she died. And he said, I thought maybe that you could use this. He handed me a check, God being my witness, for $5,000. Now, I clapped my hands, took my shoes off, and had a Pentecostal Baptistic Presbyterian spell, and jumped up and down and clapped my hands and rejoiced. And, you know, I was glad the Lord waited. Now, sometimes the Lord waits. Why? I don't always know why. Sometimes he doesn't. We're starting a cemetery here in this church. And we've got a lot of dead people. And we're starting a cemetery. Really, we are. And so we're gonna take part of our cottage property out here for our big cemetery. And we're going to call it Rapture Gardens. It'll be the only cemetery in the whole world where all the people will go up, and it'll be empty after the rapture. And Brother Fisk will be in charge of it, of course, then. And but we wanted to use a part of our college property. Well, to do that, we had to get permission from the Catholics, and we had to have a public hearing. And we had to start from scratch, take some farmland and put roads in, and, and put shrubs in and so forth. And what do you call it when you put shrubs in? Landscape it. That's right. These big words always throw me. And had to landscape it. And so I was driving out to college a week ago last Wednesday to speak on chapel, and I was about 5 minutes early, and so I passed by the Memory Garden Cemetery. It's on Highway 30. A very beautiful little cemetery on Highway 30. Well, I backed up. I think I'll look at this cemetery and see what it looks like. Maybe we can get some ideas from this cemetery when we build ours, if we can. So I drove around the cemetery, and suddenly it dawned on me. Now, Lord, it sure would save us a lot of time and trouble if you'd just let me have this one. And so I prayed 60 seconds and asked God for that cemetery. 60 seconds and asked God for it. 2 days after that, Mr. Wilhelm from the bank over here with Mr. Walker, one of our deacons, who's vice president over here, they said, we'll talk to you. They came over. Mr. Wilhelm said, Reverend, I own a cemetery out on Highway 30. It's called the Memory Garden Cemetery, and I want to sell it to you if you'd like to buy it. And they offered to sell it to us, 40 acres, 400-foot frontage on the four-lane Highway 30, choice property, adjoining our college property, 40 acres plus $35,000 in the perpetual care fund in cash, plus $38,000 in accounts receivable that are good accounts receivable, which means none of our people owe any of that, and good accounts receivable, and that's $73,000, plus the 40 acres for a total price of $195,000. Now, that's 60 seconds I've prayed for that. 60 seconds. I've gotten more notes this week. People said, look, if you can get a prayer answered that fast, pray. But I've had more prayer requests this week ever had in my life. John Penny suggested I pray for the massage parlor down here. And so I said, I don't know whether I want it or not. What does it look like on the inside? And he explained it to me. And so forth. But anyway, now, folks, I know the Lord. Now, I don't mean to be cocky about that or boastful, but I do know the Lord. I'm alone a lot, and I walk with God, and I know Him. I don't mean I'm saved. I am saved, but I know the Lord, and I know how He works. Now, sometimes you got to beg and beg and plead and plead and plead, but sometimes the Lord gives it to you right quick. But now, look, if the Lord doesn't let you have the cemetery right away, just keep on praying. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. We have at our house a dog. It is not the prettiest dog in the world. In fact, it probably is the ugliest dog in the world. His name is Fritz. Now, Fritz is a singer. I can go to the piano, and I can go bum 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 bum, or you can come to our house and ring the doorbell. Just ring it. Keep on ringing it, and Fritz will go to the door, and he'll sing as long as the doorbell is ringing. And he and I have one thing in common. We both howl an awful lot, but he'll sing and sing and sing. Now, sometimes I'll tease Fritz a little bit, and maybe I'll hold something up over him, and I'll say, Fritz, you want this? He'll jump up. And maybe he'll get his nose on it. Now, once he gets his nose on it, that means I am not going to eat it. In fact, once he breathes on it, I'm not going to eat it. Now, that means it's Fritz's. It has his name on it, and he's going to get it. But I don't give it to him right away. Why? Well, he jumps, and he jumps, and he jumps, and I may even go to the piano and play. Ba 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 ba. That's better than ba 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 ba. And so I play. And now I want Fritz to hang around. I want Fritz to be around me for a while. Now sometimes the Lord is that way. You know, sometimes God can't get us to be around Him unless He makes us keep on praying. Unless God gets us in a tight, and we have to say, "Oh God, I've got to have it. I've got to have it." And God has it, and He's going to give it to you. You already got your nose on it, and it's ruined, and He's going to give it to you. But the Lord, you won't talk to God unless you need something. Sometimes the girls will say, Dad, can I have a dress? And I'll say, good night, I'm not made out of money. Now, I already know I'm going to buy him a dress. But I'll say, I'm not made out of money. But look, Dad, I only have 3 dresses for the spring. Well, I said, you only got 1 body. Why you need 3 dresses? But Dad, good night, all the other girls, they have 4 or 5 dresses. And I said, okay, wonderful, that's wonderful. But You thank God you got three. Well, when I was a kid, I didn't have any dresses at all. And then, well, come on, Dad. Now, look, Dad, I've got to have it. Now, I know I'm going to give them the dress. I know they're going to get it as sure as I'm standing there. Well, why don't I go ahead and give them the money? Well, two reasons. I want to hold on to the money as long as I can. But the second reason is I like for my girls to talk to me every once in a while. That's all, you know, if they walk up and say, Dad, I say, how much? How much? How much? Now, and the Lord that way. Say, did you know God loves you? And God loves your company? And God loves to spend time with you? So many times the Lord waits. I don't know why he waits. Sometimes he may wait in order to let us bathe in the bitter waters which flow from the foul fountains of our sin. Maybe sometimes he lets us wait in order that they might let us get to the bottom of the cup so we'll never drink the cup again. Or sometimes he makes us wait to make us pray and that we mean what we pray. Or it may be that the only way he can get us to spend some time with him. Or he may be waiting until we have tried everything else so the flesh will get no glory. I don't know why, but I know this. Sometimes the dear Lord waits. Now, if he waits, then that leads us to our second thought, and that is we must wait. We must wait. Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, why should we wait? All right. Sometimes we ought to wait for answers to prayer. For answers to prayer. That's why you recall over in, I love that story in Luke chapter 11 about the fellow who came to his friend at midnight and said, hey, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, at midnight, it was awful late then. They didn't have Johnny Carson then, thank God. Wish we didn't have him now. But they didn't have the dirty television then, all the rotten late movies and so forth. And folks went to bed then when the sun went down. And midnight, well, I can recall when midnight was way, way in the night. We went to bed 8 o'clock in the night, every night, and midnight was late. And at midnight, a fella comes and says, friend, lend me three loaves. Now, in the Jewish Middle Eastern custom, it still is in the people that live like in their old custom, the entire family sleeps together in the same bed. I mean, you got mama, and you got daddy, and you got grandma, and you got grandpa, and you got Uncle George, and you got Aunt Sue, and you got little Johnny, and you got Susie, all in the same bed. And so the fellow says, hey, friend! He wakes up, and grandpa wakes up, and grandma wakes up, and mama wakes up, and Uncle George wakes up, and Aunt Susie wakes up, and Aunt Sue wakes up. I've forgotten her name. It's in the Greek, and I've not checked it lately. She wakes up, little Georgie wakes up, and little Susie wakes up. What is it? He says, friend, I've got a fellow came in, a friend of mine, and I don't have any bread in the house, and I want to feed him something. Could I borrow three loaves of bread? He says, nope. He says, the hour's late. My family's in bed with me. I can't give you any. He shuts the window, and Grandpa goes back to sleep, and Grandma goes back to sleep, and he goes back to sleep, and the wife goes back to sleep, and Uncle George goes back to sleep, and Aunt Sue goes back to sleep, and little Johnny goes back to sleep, and little Susie goes back to sleep, and the fellow starts back to his friend. But he can't bear the thought of facing his friend without any bread. So he says, I'll go back, and I'll wake him up again. He goes back, hey, friend! And Grandpa wakes up, and Grandma wakes up, and he wakes up, and his wife wakes up, and Uncle George wakes up, Aunt Sue wakes up, and little Georgia wakes up, and little Susie wakes up. Hey, friend, what is it? Look, I've got a friend there, and he's got three. I need three loaves of bread. Look, I'm not going four or five or a dozen. Just three. Lend me three loaves. Friend of mine, his journey is hungry. He's come to me, and he'd be bad manners not to feed him. He says, I can't give you any bread. I told you to go back. Come in the morning. It's midnight. My family's all in bed with me. Slams the window down. He goes back to sleep. His wife goes back to sleep. Grandpa goes back to sleep. Grandma goes back to sleep. If I got to go through this all the time, can't you remember some of it? And Uncle George goes back to sleep. And Aunt Sue goes back to sleep. Little Johnny goes back to sleep. And little Susie goes back to sleep. And the fellow starts home. And he says, I can't face the friend. I've got to go back. He goes back. Oh, I can't do that. He'll kill me. He'll absolutely kill me. I'll go back and face my friend. He gets close to the house. I can't face the friend, he says. I can't do it. I'm going to go back. Hey, friend!
And he
stops his ears up to see what, and the friend raises the window, and he wakes up, and his wife wakes up, and Grandpa wakes up, and Grandma wakes up, and Uncle George wakes up, and Aunt Sue wakes up, and little Johnny wakes up, and little Susie wakes up. What is it? He said, now, I'm going to stay here. Do you give me some bread? If you get any sleep at all tonight, it'll be after you give me bread. No bread, no sleep. I'll howl and holler out here all night long. He takes 3 loaves of bread and throws them down and says, okay, take it. I'll give you the whole bakery if you let us sleep a little while. And then he goes to sleep, and his wife goes to sleep, and Grandpa goes to sleep, and Grandma goes to sleep. Uncle George goes to sleep, and Aunt Sue goes to sleep, and little Johnny goes to sleep, and little Susie goes to sleep, and they sleep real well. How'd he get the bread? He kept on begging. He kept on begging. You know, there are many of you that would have gotten an answer to that prayer if you just waited upon God. There are times the dear Lord says, I have it, but I can't let you have it yet. Don't you recall the story in Luke 18, verse 1? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why? Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. In this room this morning, we have some college people. A young couple came to me last night. Didn't have one single dime. A little baby, just a new little, precious little baby. And didn't have a dime. He had lost his job because of the recession. And he said, we don't know what we're going to do. The rent's due by Friday, and we have no money to pay the rent, and we're going to get kicked out. Our landlord or landlady has been kind to us, but we have no money, and we've got till Friday, and we've begged and begged and begged and begged and begged God. Now, why doesn't God go ahead and answer? I don't know, but I tell you one thing. You just hang around him, and you keep knocking at the door, and don't you let him sleep, and you just knock and beg and pray. And I'm talking to college students this morning, and you're having it mighty tough. Many of our married college students with children are having it awful rough these days. Now listen, young men of God, you may as well find out right now whether there's a God in heaven or not. You may as well find out right now. Don't you quit and go home. Don't you do it. You stay there, say to God, I'm going to stick it out. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay here. And you believe God and you hang on to God and you meet His conditions and you pray. I could stand here and I could tell you, give a list of experiences of the length of my arm, or I could stand here all day and just tell you case after case after case where God has opened the waters of the Red Sea for this preacher. How long ago? I had a burden, a financial burden, and for some reasons I didn't want to tell it to the deacons. Normally I'll, you know, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to the deacons. Tell it to the deacons. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to the deacons alone. And there was a reason why I felt I didn't want to tell it to the deacons. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I cried, and I had the heaviest load, and I lost weight, and that I need to do. And I just couldn't understand. And I said, Lord, this is not like you. It is not like you. And so I kept, but finally I thought, I must tell the deacons. So we had a meeting of the deacons, and as you know, as soon as I told the deacons, the next day, miracles started taking place. I don't know why, but I mean, my mind cleared, and I could see my way out of it. And 5 miraculous answers to prayer took place in the next week. Now, you know why? The Lord wanted the deacons to find out there's a God in heaven too. Not many deacons know that. And the Lord wanted the deacons. Like that little girl used to go here. She used to say, I like First Baptist Church because the pastor stands behind a pulpit and all the demons sit down on the front. And God wanted the deacons to know. And as soon as I told the deacons, it seemed like the answers began to come. And miracle after miracle after miracle came. Why? I don't know why the Lord waited. But the Lord waits, and sometimes He waits and answers to prayer. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Don't go home. Don't give up. Just keep on knocking on His door and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. You know, over in the promise that God gives us, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, those words, ask and seek and knock, are in the linear, are durative in the Greek. It doesn't mean, Lord, I've got to have it. Amen. No, it means beg, Lord. It means beg and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and knock and knock and knock and knock and pray and pray and seek and ask and knock and pray and seek. And I could stand here and tell you miracle of miracles of God, my soul. I recall one week. Remember the time we had the big snow here? The time. Remember the time, what you were, 1967 was it? 67, when we had, 16 feet of snow. We had 28-inch snow. Young people, now you listen, no talking. 28 inches of snow. And we were all, it took me 2 hours to get from my house to the church. It normally takes me, well, depends on whether the policemen are around or not. it normally takes me, 12 minutes, I guess. It took me 2 hours to get here. Folks were snowed in for 2 or 3 days. Awful thing. And that Sunday morning, that fellow, have a seat back in the back, please. Ushers, show the fellow a seat back there. We have enough seats without folks just standing around. That's why we have ushers. And that Sunday morning, we were running at the time about 1,900 in Sunday school. You know how many we had that Sunday morning? 500 in Sunday school. Our budget at the time was, I've forgotten what the budget was at the time. Oh, it was about $6,000. You know how much the offering was that morning? About $1,000. Now, when the snow comes and the crowd is down, that just means to you, too bad. But to a preacher, I got to go back and look at the checkbook, and I got to go back and wonder about the money. And I began to pray, oh, dear Lord, give us the $5,000. I didn't know what to do. And I take it back. We were $3,500 short that Sunday. The next Sunday, we had 12 inches of snow, and we were $1,500 short that Sunday. $5,000 in 2 Sundays. And I didn't know where to get it. So I prayed for 2 hours. I prayed on an airplane flying down to Winston-Salem, where I was preaching on Monday night. I called back in, and the secretary said, Meredith Plopper wants to talk to you. She's our financial secretary. Hello. Meredith said, Preacher, I just want to tell you that one of our members died and left us $5,000. That's exactly what I've been praying for, $5,000. You said, didn't you cry because the member died? Good night, no. We wouldn't have had the $5,000. You know, we're starting stewardship campaign here in the stewardship department, and we're going to help you make your wills out. And of course, you're going to put the church in your will, and I'm going to have a big chart on the wall in my office of all the names and how much they've left the church. And then when I need so much money, according to how much I need, I can just pray for this one to go and this one to go and this one to go, and so forth. Don't worry, boys, poor as you are, you'll never go. I can't afford you to go. You pay your tithes up. But anyway, I was in the Winston-Salem Airport, and I was dancing a jig down there with my shoes off. Always shout with my shoes off. And had my shoes off, dancing and praising the Lord for His goodness. Now, just keep on waiting for answers to prayer. Number two, wait for His power and blessing. Wait for His power and blessing. It may be that you pray for a while and the power doesn't come. I know some preacher boys right now in this room. You're praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You think you ought to get the power of God and the fullness of the Spirit first week you pray for it. Oh, no. I recall how for one long year I begged God for His power. One long, miserable, barren year, night after night after night. Oh, God of powerless ministry. And I recall when I first came here, we couldn't get things going for a while. We had problems, nothing. We had riots, and I couldn't get things going. And year before I came here, we averaged 715 in Sunday school. Year after I came, I think we averaged about 716 in Sunday school. We grew at least one or two, and we couldn't get things going. Well, everywhere I'd ever been, we'd grown like wildfire. I mean, that little church in East Texas, Grange Hall Baptist Church, was a growing this thing in all East Texas, and went down to Henderson, Texas, and 1 year we quadrupled the Sunday school, and then Garland, Texas, had grown from 44 people to 4,000 people in 6.5 years. I wasn't used to things not moving and going, and I was like the Texan that got on his horse and rode off in all directions. I was used to going and moving, but nothing, we couldn't get it going here. And I can recall Ken Shamblin, our music director. He'd pace the floor in our office and say, Preacher, I can't understand it. We got the best church in the country. We can't grow. I know. But I'd come to the altar of the old auditorium over there,
And I'd pray night after night, and I'd walk up and down the aisles, and I'd sing, and I don't sing very well. When I sing, heaven's flag is flown at half-mast for 3 days, and the angels weep. And I'd sing, Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, thy floodgates of blessing on us, throw open wide. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, let sinners be converted in thy name, glorified. And I waited, and we waited, and then blessed be God, the Lord found out we meant business. And one day he began to open the windows of heaven, and this place, the story is legion. And here in this place, legend in this place here, how that God is moved upon this place. Do you know last year this church baptized 7,200 people, and the second largest number of baptisms in the world last year was 2,000 and some odd people. 5,000 more this church baptized last year than any church in the whole world. Now suppose we hadn't waited. Suppose we hadn't waited. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. There's something else you have to wait for, too. And that something else is vindication. Wait for vindication. You know, as a preacher, and especially as a fundamentalist, and especially as a fellow who's got convictions I have, I get worlds of criticism. Worlds of criticism. And I often wish, and I'll say something about this tonight, I often wish that people could see what's in here. And I often wish that I could tell them exactly how I feel and show my side of it. But sometimes you've got to wait